Hello and welcome to episode 173 of the Enough Podcast, weekly show where we discuss today, I think, maybe an all-technology show again. We're backing up with another all-tech show.
People are going to get bored with this after a while, man.
And that just beautiful saying. Voice, that beautiful, gravelly, husky man's voice is Mr. Patrick Rowan. Hello, sir. How are you?
Husky man.
Husky Ooh. Man.
Husky man. That sounds like a bad cologne.
Husky for men. So you might be able to tell that I am punchy. I am alive with enthusiasm because...
Yeah, you've got a long day.
I'm starting a long broadcast day, so we're recording this episode of Enough, which is about half an hour after the Apple keynote or special event today. We are then, me and Patrick are staying on to record another episode of Enough because I'm taking I'm going to be out of the country on our usual recording time next week, so we're going to be doing that.
Taking a holiday, as you Brits are likely to say.
As I would say.
Yes.
I would definitely say that.
Yes,
We are then, or I am then, going to be recording our show Bionic with Matthew Alexander.
Where you'll be talking probably about the same thing.
Yes, but it will be framed, only we will be talking about the iPad Mini. We will also be talking about the Nexus 7.
Mm.
I'm sure we will be talking about that. And then,
and kind of how the iPad Mini, price wise, I would imagine, kind of positions the 7. I think it's kind of interesting.
We will definitely be talking about that. So if you want to hear that sort of conversation and what I'm sure will actually be a very different conversation to the other shows that we're recording, you can go and listen to that. There will be links in the show notes, but you can find that at 70decibels.com/bionic. And then midnight my time, I am recording the 512 podcast with Stephen Hackett.
Holy cow, man. That's just crazy. Plus, you have to work in the morning.
Not tomorrow. My holiday starts today.
Okay. All right. Well, then, I guess you planned this right.
Telling
me. Smart guy. All right.
So, we have not spoken at all. Nope. So, I'm just going to come out straight and ask you. So, Apple announced a lot of things today.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite thing that they've announced so far? So we're not on this show. This is not the show where you want the rundown of news. You want the 512 podcast for that. There are other places. We're not going to run down. This is going to be just opinion. Would that be safe to say, Mr. Rowan?
Yeah, I'd say that's probably safe to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, geez. That's, you know, I think I'm still a little bit caught up in the reality distortion field, although I'm kind of torn. That iPad Mini is awfully, you know, it's definitely compelling. The proof, I think, will be in the pudding of actually being able to pick one up and use it, though. I mean, that, like I said last week, I'm having a really difficult time. I've never been like this my entire life, where it's just like, I don't know. I don't know if I really need it. Who knows? I don't know. Right? Like just no enthusiasm for this stuff whatsoever. But definitely, you know, some practical considerations. And so I watched the keynote with a friend of mine who came over, and she brought sushi, a fellow geek friend of mine, and we've been friends forever. She was actually best ma'am at my wedding. She stood up for me. One of my dearest friends. We're kind of talking about it. And even watching it, I was kind of pointing out some things like, in portrait orientation, that bezel is rather thin. And one of the problems that I have, even with like the Kindle Fire that I own, the one that I bought for my wife that she never touches, is kind of when you hold it with one hand in portrait like that, you know, just kind of holding it like you would hold, I don't know, a clipboard or something, your thumb really has no place to rest and kind of accidentally hits the screen, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And well, so, I'm kind of looking at that, and I'm kind of seeing, that could potentially be a problem.
In the little product video that they do, they said that, I mean, they kind of show it that there's enough space around the outside. They're saying that it won't. I mean, I will kind of say to you, how often do you have that problem on your iPhone? I mean, Apple does I actually noticed this today They do a really good job with noticing touches that aren't intended. Today, I was unlocking my iPhone, and whilst unlocking it, it was on my desk, realized that whilst my thumb was unlocking, I had three fingers on the top of the device, but it still unlocked it. I mean, the iPhone does an absolutely excellent job at working out what touches are intended and what aren't. And that was one of the things that Steve Jobs spoke about originally. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you don't have a problem with it, especially because you'll be using it in one hand now. So the majority of your fingers will actually be behind the device and around the sides of the device.
Yeah. Well, and one of the other reasons that, you know, we were talking about it, that, you know, I said was kind of one of the more compelling things about it is that the separation of... The separation of use case for me between my current first-gen iPad and the MacBook Air is slim enough just simply because of the, you know, the screen size and the portability aspects and whatnot, that they're almost, in a way, interchangeable, if that makes sense, and that a mini would make that gulf wider. And thus would provide a clearer, like, okay, here's when I need to take my Air. Here's when I need to take my iPad. And here's when I just need to take my phone. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting to see kind of how that plays into my decision about what to do. Because here's the curveball that Apple threw. You know, and let me just state, I am well overdue for upgrading my iPad.
Totally. You're still using an iPad 1, aren't you?
I still have the iPad 1.
That was three revisions ago now.
I know. So that's the curveball that Apple threw, right? Mm. Apple updated and, you know, basically replaced the iPad that they just introduced.
I personally didn't find that a curveball. I really felt that they would do that. The reason that I thought that they would do that was so they would be able to align their iPad events now. So they will have, you know how they had the full iPod event? That just became a full iPad event.
Yeah.
You know, so you're going to see, you will not see, I believe, another iPad now for a year.
Yeah.
That's
true. And then it makes sense, and that's very smart. That said, if they choose to do things that way, it's really interesting because what that leaves is almost a nothing but iPhone event happening in September.
iPhone and iPod, man.
Yeah.
They'll lump those together because the iPod is a very small footnote to the iPod?
Yeah, you did say the iPod.
The iPod is a small footnote now, so they can just tack it on the end of what will be a much larger event. I feel that the iPhone will always take up more time than the iPad. As it's a more important thing for Apple. They show off the iOS there and games and stuff.
Interesting.
We didn't get today, which is quite interesting. Didn't get any games.
No game demos.
No.
Well, I think there were some game companies that were busy laying people off, and so they just couldn't, didn't have the time to.
It's worth saying, I guess, people that don't know, during the event, Zynga laid off, I think, their entire Austin staff.
200 people,
mainly located in Austin, told them at the start of the keynote and then gave them the 2 hours to get the F out, in hoping that what it would do would be to cover it up. But actually what it's done is make it worse.
Yeah, well.
Because if they would have said, look, we're not doing so well, we had to let off our entire team, it would be sad and that. But now they're like, Zynga, what D-bags for doing that. Right, and I honestly think it might have been different. I mean, nobody likes Zynga anyway because they are known to make these sorts of. But I think it may have gone down a little bit better if they wouldn't have done it this way. But that's what they chose to do. Pincus, right? Mark Pincus. He's a piece of work. That guy.
Yeah, I don't care. All right, so I care about those people that lost their jobs. This economy is a horrible thing.
Yeah, for sure.
But so that's the curveball they threw, right? And the other curveball they kind of threw is price, although there was rumors about the price being $329 I saw last night. But I looked at that, I'm like, oh no, that's gonna be like the price with like the, you know, with the LTE or whatever. That can't possibly be. They're not going to do that, because what that will do is all of those customers that they were hoping to catch are going to go for the Galaxy Nexus 7 or whatever the name of that thing is. The 16 gigabyte model of that is $249. Just saying.
So what do you think?
I don't get that.
What is your what is your personal view on the price? As a consumer.
I mean for me it's like, oh, okay, well, you know, that's, you know, it's a premium product and you're going to pay a premium price just like you do with a lot of things Apple, right? But I don't know. I hear a lot of people who are going, you know, at least in my head, I'm not saying I hear this now or have heard it or have seen it on any of the social networks or anything like that. But what I foresee is to wake up tomorrow morning to 1,000 gadget blogs re-dredging up the Apple tax statements of yesteryear, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily think that that's a position that Apple needs to put themselves in. I'm surprised that they couldn't even find a way to, say, shave $30 off the price of this thing. Because I think if it was the difference, and it's just like, you know, we're talking just a perceptual difference here, but if it's the difference between, say, $299 and $329, that extra, that three in front causes people to pause, right? Causes people to look at these other things with a two in front and kind of make that comparison, if that makes sense, right? Whereas if it was $299 versus $249, I think there would be much less of that going on.
Okay.
Like, you wouldn't have a million gadget blogs. Like, I would bet money on this. Tomorrow, the big story is going to be price.
I think it's the big story now. It's what everybody's talking about on Twitter. I think we're going to be talking about it on the network quite a lot. And I think it's because, Pat, we saw reports of $329. But I think, well, especially myself, I thought $329 with Retina then. I am very surprised, very surprised that they could not or would not take it to the Android tablet prices. When, I mean, and again, you're definitely going to hear about this on Bionic. They took a lot of pot shots against the Nexus 7 and against the materials that it uses, and then said, oh, we use much better materials. Well, of course you do, because you charge like $100 more for the device.
Well, yeah, actually it's about $70 more, but
yes, it's £100 more. I can pick up a Nexus 7 for £160, and I can pick up an iPad Mini for £260. And guess what? One of them has the closest to Retina screen.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. On this show, that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Well, and so I guess between the curveball and the price and the fact that I'm so overdue for a replacement, I mean, Apple has me just where they want me, which is considering going for that for the larger iPad, just because, just because for me, even the $399 iPad 2, so even just spending $50 more or whatever it is, $70 more, and getting the iPad 2 will be a huge upgrade from what I have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if I'm already at $329, why don't I just spend a little bit more? Or even better yet, you know, if I'm considering, say, the, you know, what is it, the 32 gigabyte? Let me, you know, take a look here at our friend the Mini here and see what our options are. I haven't even had a chance to look at the store to see what the kind of what the price points are. Will they give me?
Yeah, I can get those for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Every inch an iPad, which is a great great.
Yeah, that is a good tagline.
Right. So, what do you want to know? So,
well, I guess what I want to know is what are the configurations for the Mini?
You've got Wi-Fi and Wi-Fi and cellular. You've got 16, 32, and 64 gig. The Wi-Fi starts out at $329. You add $100 more depending on the size that you want. The Wi-Fi and cellular starts at $459, and you add $100 more depending on the size you want.
Okay.
They say cellular. It is 4G. But they say cellular, I guess, because of the different markets.
Yeah.
And that, I believe this is new. They have Sprint now. So it's AT&T, Verizon, and Sprint on the iPad. And I believe
Have Sprint before, did they?
No, I don't think they did, because they're making a point of it. Well, not a point of it, but you can see on the iPad 2, which they're still for sale, as you mentioned, they are not. Sprint is not there.
So, yeah. So, you know, I think, I don't know.
I'm going to, I think I have an interesting point to mention, but I want to talk about Squarespace quickly.
Oh, we should probably do that.
And then I'm not going to go into it anymore, actually. I have an interesting thing I'd like to bring up with you. So this episode, as with all of our coverage that will be today about the iPad event, I'm making this into a cross-network event today. I'm not giving away all of my opinions in all of the shows. How about that? So you have to listen in if you want to get them.
Ooh, sneaky.
So it's brought to you by Squarespace. They make sure that everything that we do here is possible, and that's why we love them, but also we use them. So yeah. Squarespace give you absolutely everything you need to make an amazing website. They provide you with a fully hosted, completely managed environment for creating and maintaining a beautiful website, portfolio, blog, business site. Your home online can be created by using Squarespace. I use Squarespace both personally for MikeHurley.net and also for the 70 Decibels website. So you can kind of see the flexibility that I have with their WYSIWYG editors and their layout engine, which is their page builder, in that it allows me to create like a personal brand site, if you'd like to call it that, and a blog, and also a website, people-facing website for a podcast network. That's you can see right there some of the differences and some of the things that I love. So the hosting, never have to worry about my hosting. Sites never go down, rock solid, doesn't matter who links to me. And I don't have to worry about tweaking anything. I don't have to worry about uploading template themes because the templates are beautifully designed and I have full customization over them, so I can make whatever changes I want if I want to, but I don't feel like I don't need to because they're so beautiful. Responsive web design with those templates, so no matter what device. So when you get your new iPad Mini, how about that? Look at that. That's synergy in the sponsorship.
I'm pretty impressed.
When you get your new iPad Mini, your Squarespace website will automatically reformat using responsive web design, which comes straight out of the box, to make sure that your website looks perfect on that device. And even if you're using an iPod Touch, an iPhone, it seriously looks incredible. Just go try it out. Go to MikeHurley.net, visit on a bunch of different devices, and you'll see how great the site looks. Stats, which I love. So you have real-time analytics that are built right into Squarespace, and they have iOS and Android apps that allow you to manage and post on the go. You can also import your content from your current blog, and they have easy-to-set-up sharing and syncing with your social media accounts. That's all built right in. I want you to go and try out these amazing features for yourself. You don't need any credit card to try out Squarespace. Go to squarespace.com/70decibels and start your free trial. Squarespace is then only $10 a month for the standard plan and $20 a month for the limited plan. If you sign up for 1 year up front, you'll get 20% off that total price. And if you sign up for 2 years up front, you'll get 25% off. If you decide to purchase a Squarespace plan, click enter an offer code, which can be found just under the pricing information at checkout, and use the code 70decibels10 to get an additional 10% off your first purchase. Thank you to Squarespace for making this episode and 70 Decibels possible.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
So what's your
insight here, your point that you're going to make?
How much do you trust my judgment?
I trust it quite a great deal, actually.
So I'm going to say this to you. Because you're pondering about whether to buy the 7 or the 10, right?
I'm pondering what to buy at all, to be honest with you. But quite honestly, my wife at this point wants an iPad bad enough for herself.
Right.
That if I don't get one, she's going to get one soon.
Okay, so.
Then tell me to go, jump off a cliff.
So I'm not rushing out the door to buy the iPad mini for reasons I'll get into maybe on this show, maybe on the other shows. But I am never going to buy I do not plan to ever buy a 9.7-inch iPad again. And that's because of the experience of using a 7-inch device with the Nexus 7.
Ooh, interesting. So you're saying I should go for the mini,
You should go for the mini. As well, because you're not used to Retina. So you're not going to have that problem.
Yeah, no, it's not going to be like, oh my god,
it's not going to be an issue.
So horrible.
It's not going to be a downgrade screen wise.
Websites actually look good on this. What's wrong?
So
sorry.
So I honestly think you should go for that device size. I mean, the weight and stuff is going to be amazing. So you're going to be able to read a lot better on it. Mm-hmm.
Just an increasing amount of.
I mean, I find the Nexus 7 to be really light for the device size and comfortable, so I'm really interested to feel how light that is, because apparently it's lighter and thinner.
Yeah.
Which looks, I'm really, that's why I'm quite excited to use one. But I think 9.7 inches is just too large, really. I don't think that we need those devices, if I'm being totally honest with you. I think people that use that. The only real people that need a device that size, in my opinion, and your mileage may vary, is people that watch videos on them. But even then, a 7-inch screen is more than capable, more than comfortable for that. For example, especially you, Pat, you will be able to type with this, fun typing, in landscape mode.
In portrait mode, yeah.
You'll be able to do that, and that's
a big selling point for me, right? Yeah, so my friend who came over to watch with me, I finally held an iPhone 5.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Isn't it incredible?
It's so nothing. It's so light.
When I see, obviously Sammy still has a 4S, right? I think it looks fat, which is weird. Because the iPhone 5, even though it's obviously the same width, because the screen's longer, it looks thinner to me. Like in width, it looks slimmer. So when I see a regular iPhone 4 or 4S, I think that, and I also think they look really large, like just like dimension wise. I'm like, oh my god, how fat is that thing? But it looks like they've borrowed a lot of design cues from the iPhone 5 for the iPad Mini. So there's the diamond cut chamfer edge around the aluminium. They're using white and aluminium and black.
By the way,
slate.
If you still have the keynote drinking card. You can now drink with the. You now get bingo for the chamfer. Just saying.
Yeah, chamfer's the new word, right?
And chamfer's. Yeah,
we got a couple of new things as well. Was it like something seared welding and all sorts of insaneness today? Plasma something or other. Very interesting.
Yeah, but it's not. It's just not the same as Johnny Ive saying aluminium.
Aluminium. That should be said. I said to Stephen Hackett, I'm sure you will appreciate this. I said to Stephen Hackett in chat that I have a quite severe man crush on Johnny Ive. Sir Johnny Ive. It really frustrates me that they don't say that he's Sir Ive. I know that's a silly thing, and I'm sorry, American people, because, maybe they should. You might not need to necessarily warrant that, but surely he must in his heart feel like, I am a knight of the realm, and I should be addressed as such. That's a lot to be his age and receive a knighthood is quite a achievement.
Yeah, I don't know where it is, but here it is. Apple leadership. I'm looking, and no,
he's not.
He is Jonathan Ive, even on the Apple leadership page.
I think that's insane.
No,
the poor man.
He is Sir.
He's Sir John. Ive. Just Sir
he
Ive.
Knight of the realm.
You removed John.
He knelt down before the Queen. And she nearly cut his head off with the darn sword because she's getting old and it's heavy. I mean, come on now.
It hurts. It hurts me. It just hurts me.
I mean, the guy risked death in front of Elizabeth for that title. He deserves it.
I love his picture on the Apple PR page.
I know, because
he's so angry.
Everyone else is smiling. He looks like he's about to punch the photographer.
We've just worked out why.
Yeah, no one's calling him sir.
Because they're not observing the knighthood.
I blame them. I don't blame him at all.
I now have a new way that I imagine that these photos were taken. So, obviously, our opinion now is that he is well aware when this photo was being taken that he was not referred to as Sir Ives. So I now imagine it like a celebrity squares. And so they all had their names underneath them, as you see it here. And so now he saw that he was just written as Jonathan Ive. Mm-hmm. Sir, yeah. I think you find
he's
Sir.
Kicked off.
Does it even say in his bio? No. Oh, yeah. He was awarded the title Royal Design. No, it's not in there.
What?
In 2003, he was named Designer of the Year by the Design Museum London and awarded the title Royal Designer for Industry by the Royal Society of Arts. But it has not got in there that he's received a knighthood. Because it's not. Obviously, he was happy to receive it because you can turn them down. So it wasn't. No, seriously. You can't turn them down. I believe...
Like you lose your citizenship if you turn down a knighthood.
Who is it? Was it Mick Jagger turned one down?
Oh, did he?
I'm going to find...
Oh, I can't believe Sir Mick Jagger turned one down.
10 famous people who turned down a knighthood. David Bowie is one.
Interesting. I could see David Bowie doing it, yeah.
Yeah, I can't see Jagger in there. Maybe it was Bowie then.
Yeah, it had to have been Bowie, because I can't see Jagger doing it. Jagger would be all over that. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Jagger would walk around with a T-shirt with Sir written in all caps.
I knew it was a musician. Yeah. So there you go, it's Bowie. Oh, so yeah, he could have turned it down.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
Interesting. Well, so here's the thing then. Okay. So let's get back to the price. So how much is the 32 gig Wi-Fi?
It's $100 more, so it's
$429. Plus, if I want that 4G, we're now in the 600 and change area.
Let me get the price for you. So the 4G model, which you think would be easier to... Oh, here we go. 4G model at what? 32?
Mm-hmm.
$559. But you're looking at a regular iPad, which is now actually called the iPad with Retina display. That's what they're calling it now. That's $729.
Yeah, that's a good couple hundred bucks more. Oh, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm having a hard time just getting excited about that. So, back to the iPhone 5. So I held this thing, right? Mm-hmm. And, of course, the first thing I did was I opened up Notes app. And opened up a new note, turned it landscape, and started to type. It will take some getting used to if I switch. It will definitely take some getting used to.
Yeah, as this is what I said to you before. It's a little bit bigger, but I don't personally feel, and you can correct me if this is different for you, I don't think it's to the point where it's uncomfortable or really weird, but yes, it is bigger, and you notice that, of course.
Yeah, it's not uncomfortable. It is really weird. One weird thing about it, though, is if you notice in landscape, there's a bit of white space, or in this case, dark gray space, on either side of the keyboard in landscape mode in order to account for that extra real estate. In other words, they didn't change the size of that keyboard in landscape mode.
Yeah.
And
I noticed that, which I thought was quite interesting. Which
I think is quite interesting, because what that does is it keeps the thumb travel I'm used to is there. It's really just the, how far my thumbs have to stretch to meet center, more than anything else. And I should also say that the other thing I really have to get used to is the fact that there is this Siri key next to the number key. And so every time I went down to hit a number, I get the Siri thing and it would pop up. And I'm like, no, I don't want that.
You're using a 4, aren't you? So I'm like, what's he talking about? It's been there for ages.
Yeah. Not on the 4.
Your technology is so old.
I know, man. Isn't it great?
Are you using a Bondi Blue iMac by any chance? Are you still on like the Lamp iMac? You know, what are you?
The eMac. eMac.
Talking about Macs. Talking about Macs. Oh boy, are you ready to talk about Macs yet?
Yeah, we can talk about Macs because some interesting things. Jeepers, that iMac. Holy.
How is that possible?
I have no idea.
Like, I know obviously it bulges at the back, right? But still,
I mean, like, so my friend is sitting next to me with her old 17-inch MacBook Pro. It shows you how old her machine is. And she's like, she kind of runs her fingers along the display, and she goes, oh my gosh, that's like that. And I said, yes, that is like that. Is that then?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I've got my notes here to tell you how thin it is at that finish.
Seven millimeters.
A 5 I've actually got written down. But
you got 5? It's not 5. I thought 7. Okay, well, I could be wrong.
Maybe it's 6.
No, I wasn't writing notes, so there you go.
Yeah, no, I write notes. Of course I write notes.
Of course you take notes, yeah.
About that thing, eh? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, once again, they really have outdone themselves with in the design department. Did I catch that this does not any longer have an optical drive?
No longer an optical drive, but they have a superdrive, external superdrive for sale.
Yeah, just like with the Mini, but they're, once again, we're beginning this march towards the disappearance of optical drive on Macs.
Yep.
We knew that this day was coming.
Who needs it?
Interesting to see it on the iMac.
Do you use an optical drive still?
No. No. Very rarely.
No. Yeah.
Very rarely do I have need for one. I'll tell you where I'm glad I have it. And that is that my wife is still on one of the white MacBooks.
Right.
The last generation that they introduced. And some of the wireless printers you get, you can't set up wireless without, like, on the device itself. You have to set it up like you have to plug the thing in with USB and use their CD software to run through the setup and add the credentials and stuff like that, and then it sends it over the USB to the firmware on the device or whatnot. And then once it's set up, then you can, discard the, take out the USB cable and not discard the CD, but, file it away because you never know when you're going to use it again. But that's where it comes in handy, right, is with things like that, things for which, okay, I have to do this with a CD because the device manufacturer doesn't provide this software for download anywhere. And, I've got the CD right here, ready to go. But it's rare. It is very rare that I ever have need for a CD. And I do have one of those external super drives. So if push comes to shove, I can plug that in somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, but I think the times that you need those are becoming far
less and less
few between. Oh, man.
Yeah. Speaking of which, since we're on the subject, the Mac Mini got a bump that I was not necessarily expecting.
Yeah, they went for that, fair play.
Yeah, which once again leads me to believe that, or leads me to think, this is going to be an expensive few months for me, I really feel, right?
Because do you want a new one of those, too?
Because my wife is really due for a new computer at this point.
Right.
I have an old generation, like the more taller, square generation of the Mac Mini, running as my home server and also backup server for CrashPlan for a bunch of my clients and myself and whatnot. And that's kind of due for... for a replacement. And so when I saw that new Mini, I was thinking to myself, you know, I probably should handle up on one of those new Minis. And basically, the Mini that I just bought to act as my kind of media center, take that, clone it to one of the brand new Minis, and then take that and, you know, clone my, not clone, but certainly replace my old generation Mini with that, so that I've got two of newer generation Minis running now, and kind of retire that older one. But the, you know, here's the beautiful thing about the Mini. They just kind of sit there, and they just kind of work. They just kind of keep working, especially if you're like using it for a server or something like that, where it's like headless and just kind of sits there quietly and does its thing. Perfect. They're little workhorses. I mean, it's just kind of amazing that I've got an Intel Mac Mini now that's several years old, still just sitting there doing the job, running Snow Leopard server. Just doing its thing. I never touch it, you know. I think it's got an uptime now of like 100 and something days. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. Yeah, so Mac Mini is really, I think, an underratedly useful computer. I mean, you can use it for all sorts of things and just have it kind of sit there and do its job and not bother anyone. I like it.
Good.
Let's see, what else? What else? So new iBooks, which, you know, this is great.
MacBook Pro 13.
Oh, the 13-inch MacBook Pro. I was really surprised. That's their most popular computer? I had no idea.
What did they say was the most popular?
They said the 13, they said the 13-inch MacBook Pro is their most their best-selling Mac.
That I didn't catch that, but that's surprising.
That is very surprising, isn't it?
It would have been one of the Air models.
Yeah, I would have thought so too.
That's weird.
So, but I mean, keep in mind, I mean, especially with this new 13-inch, the kind of portability to feature ratio that you get in that size package, which really is not that much thinner than, or I should say, the 13-inch MacBook Air is not that much thinner and lighter than that new model.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if you want, you know, to borrow the Microsoft term, you know, a machine with no compromises, i.e., you get an optical drive, and you, because those do have the optical drive. No, they don't.
No, they don't.
They removed the optical drive from that to make it thinner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, so, yeah, so it's just the Retina. Like, yep. That's what you're really getting. That's the real difference between the Air and the...
Wait. Oh, yeah, between the Air, yes. But it's more power.
It's power.
There is more power in those things.
Yeah, but the Air is going to be... The Air is screamingly fast because of the SSD.
Yes, that's got an SSD.
So you'll get more power, but...
No, they're SSD-based.
What, the 13-inch MacBook Pro?
Yeah, the Retina ones. They're all SSD.
Oh, they're all SSD?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Wow. Okay. Yeah. No, that's a killer machine then. That's a freaking killer machine.
So
right,
I
there.
Really, 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 really want one a lot, in case you hadn't.
So then why would one... Why not just make it the... Just get rid of the 13-inch Air and call that one the Air. You know what I mean?
Because it's thicker, though. They'll be making it bigger and heavier.
It's not that much thicker.
It's thicker. Yeah. It is.
Yeah, it is. Okay. I'm just saying.
So they would, I can't see them doing that because it is bigger.
All the same, I was pretty impressed with, like, you know, we've got a little more to show you. Oh, here's five new things.
Yeah.
The 13-inch, you know, Retina MacBook Pro, the Mac Mini bump, the iMac that is as thin as most people's laptop displays, the Mac or the iPad Mini, and the replacement of the, basically the replacement of the iPad, Yeah, five things.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the little bit of software bumps that they talked about with iBooks and iBooks Author, and you know, things never, no one really cares about. But I digress. I'm just kind of amazed that, like, all of this stuff and nothing about iTunes.
Well, I don't think they need to talk about iTunes.
Well, because they talked about iTunes back then and when, but I thought at least they would say, oh, and iTunes, we showed you a new version at our last keynote. I know you're really excited to have it. New iTunes is available today.
I think it will go live when the products, you know, over the next few days, really, or the next couple of weeks as the products start to ship.
You think so?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I do, yeah.
Gotcha.
So I think it might be time to wrap this up. Any final thoughts?
No, except for, I guess, I guess I'll be considering the Mac Mini a bit more strongly based upon your thoughts about it. Yeah, or not the Mac Mini, I'm sorry, the iPad Mini. Gosh, this is going to get freaking confusing really fast. Why did they do this to me?
I love.
Why didn't
Mac
they follow our advice from last week?
I know. This is what we said, wasn't it, last week on the show? That by calling it by that product name, you're going to have a problem because, you know.
Yeah. You get confused all the time. Yeah,
I get it confused.
So yeah, I will consider it much more strongly than I believe I was before. And you know, we'll see. I really am going to be one of those people that waits until I can actually hold one in my hands. I'm thinking I'll probably go for the LTE version at this point, so I will wait until November 16th when those roll into the stores. So it could be like end of November before I finally end up getting one of these things.
Cool.
But, you know, I'll certainly have my thoughts on it when I do. So, all right, well,
with that,
we'll chat later.
We will. Cheers.
Cheers.